so glad. I have a Savior who cares, but not only does he care, he has the power to do the impossible. Amen.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Moses was a man trained in all the ways of the world for high position. But in the first part of this message broadcast last week, Pastor Brian Grant shared from the Hebrews 11 account three faithful decisions Moses made that enabled him to achieve God's grand design for his life. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant picks up the conclusion of his message, Recalibrating Your Faith.
I shared this point at the KSM banquet. We must stop giving God preconditions. Here's how 17:2-6 reads. I'm back in 1 Kings chapter 17. It reads thus: Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Get away from here and turn eastward. This is God speaking to Elijah. He says, Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you right there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Write this down in your notes. Quit telling God what you won't do. You know, over the years, it's just amazing. I just listen quietly, but I've heard so many what we won't do. We sometimes forget we're telling him. Although you think you're only telling me, you're only telling God, I won't do that, I won't do that, I won't do that. What is it you've been telling God you won't do? Have you ever heard of Uber Eats? Meals delivered to what? What is Uber Eats? Meals delivered what? By Uber. Well, way before Uber started delivering meals by car, God had developed a system to deliver meals by air. And he was not using drones, amen? God had put in motion an air squadron of ravens. Do you know what a raven is? A raven is a scavenger bird about twice the size of a crow. It's a big bird that loves dead things. But there's more. A raven, they tell us, is among the meanest of all creatures. They tell us that a raven is so mean, it often neglects to feed its young ravens. And some say that's probably why there are a few verses in the Bible where it talks about how God feeds the ravens, because if God didn't feed these ravens, some of them would starve to death. The ear squadron of ravens was delivering were not packaged by Amazon. Would you have eaten these unpackaged meals? Not on wheels, but meals delivered by ravens, the scavenger. Or if you were there, would you have said to God, God, not me, not a raven? But sadly, over and over in our Christian experiences, we're telling God, not me. What is it right now? Be honest with God. What is it you have said to him, I won't do? I just am not willing to do that. A young lady was telling an evangelist that she was afraid to give herself wholly to God, for she worried that if she did, he would send her as a missionary to China or some other place that she doesn't want to go to. So she said, I really am not so anxious. The evangelist said to her, suppose one cold snowy morning, a little bird was was almost frozen to death, and he came just pecking at your window. Would you bring him in and crush him to death, or would you give it shelter and warmth? And just as the evangelist asked her the question, it suddenly dawned on her that here is this little bird pecking at her window. He is totally trusting her that he will take her in, take this in. And it's such, she said, well, if this little bird could trust me so much, can't I trust God? Do you know God can be trusted? Do you believe he can be trusted in the day-by-day experiences of your life? I told them the story about when the young adults were at our home last month, and the young adults told the story that I think is in John's Gospel chapter 9. John chapter 9, where Jesus encounters this blind man. And the movie producer was really very good, because in the movie, all of a sudden, all you hear is, you hear somebody spitting, and lo and behold, the camera looks down on the in the dirt, and you see the terrible, nasty-looking spittle, and you see somebody mixing the spittle. And you remember the story, you remember what happened next? Jesus takes this nasty-looking spittle, and he takes it, and what does he do? He puts it on the man's eye, and guess what the man said? Not me, Jesus! I don't do that! Is that how the story goes? Of course, the man allowed Jesus to put it on his eyes, and you know what happened? I wonder what God would do. I wonder what God is up to. Why he keeps nagging at you? Why he keeps challenging you to do whatever it is he's challenging you about? The stuff you said, I am not willing to do it. I wonder what God is up to. What blessing are you missing out on? May God help us to give it all. So that when we sing this little song, you know, there's a song that we like to sing about surrender. What does it say? All to Jesus I surrender. I hope we don't lie when we say that. Is your all really all? When you've been telling God, all to you I surrender. Oh, would to God that today will be the day that you would say, all to Jesus I surrender. And really mean it. But we need to hurry around. Don't worry, I didn't start at whatever time. So, all right, point number three. Plus, you haven't heard me for a while, so I can go into overtime. Am I right about that? Right. Amen. Point number three. We must confidently believe God can do the impossible for us. We must confidently believe God can do the impossible for us. The story was read there, so I'm not going to reread it right now in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Marlon read it beautifully for us. This widow was an idol worshiper. She believed Baal controlled the rain, but Baal couldn't do a thing for her. And by the way, I found this so amusing, because where she was living is what they would have regarded as the headquarters of Baal worship. So she's living in the center city of Baal, and Baal can't do a thing for her. By the time she got to Elijah, by the time she met Elijah, her food had just about run out. She was on her way home to use the last little bit of meal she had to make the last cake. And then she and her son, she knew just a matter of days before she and her son would die from dehydration and starvation. But God sent Elijah to bring her hope. And as Brother Chet pointed out in his message just a few weeks ago, she became a believer. She believed what God told Elijah. And so instead of eating her last meal, she gave Elijah first. Aren't you glad we have a God who not only cares about overlooked people like this poor widow. Nobody else had an interest in her. And it's not like she was one of, quote unquote, the Jesus crowd. She's a Baal worshiper. She's a heathen. She's a discard. She's about to die. Nobody cared but Jesus. Oh, I'm so glad I have a Savior who cares, but not only does he care, he has the power to do the impossible, amen? Because as a song says, he's what? He's a miracle-working God, amen? My God is a wonder. He's a miracle-working God. My friend, I am here to say, no matter how dark things may seem, never forget, some of you are having drama, 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 but I want you to know we have a miracle working God and we can depend on him. You know, 4 years ago, I had incredible pain in my stomach. Some of you may remember that. It lasted several days, and I'll be honest, I did pray a prayer because our anniversary was the weekend. And I prayed, Lord, if it be your will, wouldn't you just, I was supposed to be the speaker of the morning, and we were having this big banquet the evening, and I said, oh my Lord, am I going to really miss this? I said, Lord, would you cool this pain? Well, the Lord did cool the pain, and I preached the morning, we had the service. The next Monday morning, I was dying with pain. I called the doctor. I said, doctor, the pain is so intense, so intense, so intense. So he dragged his feet a little, I called back. So he said, I'm going to arrange an MRI. Well, they took over a week to get the MRI scheduled, actually to call back. Well, by the time they called back and scheduled the appointment, the pain had stopped. So I'm thinking, okay, all is well. Then all of a sudden, I get a call from the doctor, and the doctor say to me, hey, you need to rush in here right away. Your appendix is about to burst. Stop whatever you're doing and come. I ran into the hospital, you can imagine, as fast as I could. Well, that must have been about 3 o'clock. And you know, the Lord blessed me that even though I was in pain, I had a sense of humor, and I was giving a couple of jokes along the way. But at 7 o'clock, the physician, he comes to me and he said, I am very sorry, I dropped the ball. They were trying to get me because there was something I needed to do before the surgery could be done. And I dropped the ball, they couldn't get me. And I said to him, no wonder, because your phone fell 3 times while you're in here. No wonder the phone wasn't working. So I said to myself, I said, Lord, are they trying to kill me? They tell me to rush in here. And now at 7 o'clock, he said, we can't do the surgery. All right, I'm going to tell you the whole story. I was going to give you a shortened version, but since we are over time. Well, the next day, they sent a specialist, because I'm now in the hospital. I've been, whatever they call it. What they call it when you're cut in. Okay, you know what I'm, admitted. So I the expert comes, that's his area, and he examines me, and he marks where he's about to, he said, 4 to 5 minutes, you'll be brought in for the surgery. I wait an hour and a half, I'm still there. I said, God, are they trying to kill me? So I finally call and ask for the doctor, so he comes in, and he said, I couldn't understand why there is no pain. And so when I did the examine over again, I went back and reviewed all the charts, whatever. And I noticed that the reason the pain had stopped, a capsule was formed around your appendix. So when it has already ruptured. Your appendix has already ruptured. But instead of all the poisons going through your system, a capsule was formed around all the poisons. Well, there's more. So that we now have time to get the thing to go down smaller. He said the surgery will be, if we had to do it now, it would be major surgery. We could not get it out from where it is. He says, we're going to give you some antibiotics. It will go down. You'll have a window between this month and that month. And so here I was. So when it was finally time to have the surgery, one of my associates arranged for the chief of surgery to come and review the situation. So here I am, the chief of surgery comes in. You can imagine how everybody in the hospital, like, who is this guy that the chief of surgery is here? Here is this. When the chief of surgery examined the situation, the chief of surgery said, you are such a lucky man. Why am I a lucky man? He said, if we had done the surgery when you came into the emergency room, he said, we may not, to use his words, we may not have been able to put you back together. He says, at best, you'd be wearing a colostomy for the rest of your life. He said, that's the best case scenario. He said, because we would have gone in with the wrong information on what was wrong, and we would have put everything all over your system. All this poison, which this capsule had protected, would have been all over you. And I said, what a miracle working God! What a miracle working God! My God is a wonder! He is a miracle working God! We must confidently believe God can do the impossible for us. Perhaps there's somebody here this morning who needs a miracle. Listen, I'm not telling you what God will do, but what I do know is that what He can do anything. Amen. He's a miracle working God. Well, so what have we said so far? If we're going to recalibrate our faith, we can experience God's grand adventure. We must pursue God's path for our lives. Second, we must stop giving God preconditions. And third, we must confidently believe God can do the impossible for us. But fourth, we must trust God not only to do the impossible for us, but also to do the impossible through us. Oh, I don't want you to miss that. We must trust God to do the impossible through us. Here we are in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 17 to 24, and you heard it read already about what happened. The woman's son died, and she brought him to Elijah, and she said, why? You know what is amazing about this story? Although miracles had been done before, and sometimes we miss this, miracles had been done before, but nobody had ever been raised from the dead before. Elijah was asking God to do something so impossible that it had never been done before. Sometimes we're only praying for God to do stuff that we have heard that He has done before. But sometimes our faith needs to be so deep that we start trusting God to do stuff we have never heard done before, because He is a miracle working God. Hallelujah. The children in Sunday school used to help me out, children, the actions. My God is what? So, what is big this way? My God is so big, so Which one is strong? Strong and so mighty. There's, what else the psalm says? There's nothing my God cannot do. Oh, we love to teach the psalm, but do we believe it? My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you. Hallelujah. But sometimes he does it through us for others. Amen. Ephesians 3:20 says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God has a grand adventure designed specially for you. Are you pursuing it? Are you experiencing it? Is your life totally committed to him? Perhaps you're here or you're listening and you're not even saved. You haven't started on the journey. You could start today. As the offering plate was being passed, a little girl put the offering plate on the floor and stood in the offering plate. The usher asked, "Honey, why are you standing in the offering plate?" The little girl said, "Because today I've made a decision. I'm not just going to give God my money. I'm going to give him my life, my all." Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to say, "God, I'm going to stand in the offering plate today, because indeed, all to Jesus I surrender. I surrender all." And Father, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you may do a work in some heart.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.